Hello everyone and welcome back. Today we are discussing using microservices as legacy systems and benefits of such transitions. I am your host, Arun Philip, working as Senior Project Manager with Techman Technologies, having more than 20 years of work experience working with various multinational organizations. Today I'm excited to share my experience on microservices and how it is playing a crucial role in driving efficiency and innovation. Joining me is my colleague, Vishal Maheshwari, Senior Cloud Architect and an expert in microservices. Let's welcome him. Thank you, Vishal, for joining us.
Sure. Thank you, Arun.
So Vishal, let's start with your background and expertise in microservices.
Yeah, Arun. So I've been like, you know, in this sector or like, you know, IT like, you know, market since more like, you know, than a decade. I've been working on the microservices and the cloud designing in terms of using like, you know, AWS or GCP or Azure from a long time. I mean, I have like, you know, helped. I did like, you know, help companies so that they can like, you know, migrate the apps from being like, you know, monolithic to a microservice app. So it's been a long time, and I like, you know, always try to like, you know, use my strength and like, you know, expertise so that you know, companies can be all confident, so that all their like, you know, applications can be migrated without an issue. That's a kind of a background about me.
Great, Vishal. So let us with this, let's start into the main discussion of today's topic. So Vishal, if you can share an overview of microservices and why it has become such a trend in our tech industry.
Right, that's a very valid like, point to ask as of now, because if you see like in the market of IT, everyone is, or every like a company is going towards, say, microservice designing, right? Before, I mean, if there is a reason for that. If you like, you know, go back, let's say from 2000 to 2010, there was a trend where like, you know, every company was using monolithic applications, and the reason for us to use that is, I mean, if you like to think like, you know, about the app in, which is built in terms of the monolithic designing, it was just built as a one unit app. I mean, so everything, maybe it might be composed of different services, but everything was packaged into one unit. The reason behind that was when the like, you know, companies used to think that we need to deploy it very fast, so that time to market should be less, and the teams were comprised very small. Also, we do not need to have any kind of complexity in the system, so that every like, you know, application was designed as a monolithic app. Now, when the companies realized that, I mean, the teams started to grow large, and also like, no, applications have started to like, no, have complexity, or the user base has increased, and let's say there are like, no, various technologies in the market which are being there, and the team has a team, I mean, every team or every small team has a different flavor of technologies. Now the companies are moving from monolithic to microservices. So there are benefits and like, no, as well as drawbacks of using the microservices, but it all like, no, has to be realized within the company, within the design team, that okay, what path they need to take so that it can be delivered. I mean, application can be like can be delivered efficiently, and all the like, no, potential of the team can be utilized in a right way. The deployment cycle should be less. It should not be the case that the team is taking a lot of time to like, no, deploy the app. So as of now, like, no, also if you see the big like, no, companies like Netflix, they have started with a monolithic app. They have not directly started with the microservices. When their company or when their like, no, application went successful, then they realize they need to also grow the app because the user demand increased. Their strength of the team increased. I mean, not the strength, but the size of the team has increased so that they can include many of the features in the app. So once they realize that it needs to grow in terms of the user base, in terms of the size, and we need to add more features, then they saw that there is a limit to the monolithic approach, and then they migrated towards microservices. So I would not say monolithic app is not there, or it is going to go out in the future, coming time. But companies would slowly migrate from monolithic to microservices, depending on the requirement. I mean, how they are growing, how their team is growing, how their application is growing. So that is how we can relate why the market is going towards microservices and how it all started.
Thank you, Vishal. So that's an interesting insight into Netflix on how it started with monolithic, and then with the business need, it moved into microservices. My next question, Vishal, is on this aspect of scalability. So when we talk about microservices, how does it contribute to scalability, especially when it comes to handling increased demand and growth?
So when we discuss about, or when we talk about scalability, the scalability in terms of, there are two things which application can be scaled. It can be a vertical, or it can be horizontal. When we talk about vertical scalability, all the applications which are built as a monolithic application, they can be scaled vertically. And now when we say about vertical scaling, it would mean that we need to increase the resources on the machine in terms of the CPU or the RAM. So there is a limit to it. So that's why there is a different kind of scaling that we need to use in terms of, which is called as a horizontal scaling, and which would mean that every component or every service of the app can be divided into small units, and every unit can be deployed on a different node, so that all the nodes can work together, and every component or the unit can be deployed on each node. So that way we can scale. Microservice horizontally, and that is how there are two concepts of scaling in the IT world.
Thank you, Vishal. Those are good insights. As you just mentioned about horizontal and vertical, so is there any particular area or a need where one is preferred over the other, or does one complement the other? How does it work in practical situations?
So in terms of practical situations, let's say if there's any kind of an application which is built on monolithic design or the architecture, then everyone would like to go with the vertical scaling, so that scaling can be faster. I mean, the ease of deployment can be easier because we don't need to maintain multiple nodes for the app. It can be just one node. The DevOps to deploy the app can be simpler. So in that case, where organizations are going with monolithic application, we can surely go with the vertical scaling. Now there would be a case where the applications are built as a microservices. In that case, we would not be going with the vertical scaling. We would be going with the horizontal scaling. So every unit can be deployed. It can be deployed as a one unit. So the each application or a piece or a component can be deployed on each node or a instance. So that means microservices help us to deploy in terms of, and I mean, we can scale them in terms of horizontal scaling, and monolithic can be done in terms of vertical scaling. So that's how we can get the benefit of the scaling when we go for the microservices.
Very well explained, Vishal. I think striking the right balance between horizontal and vertical scaling is crucial when it comes to developing high performing systems. So let's move into another aspect. And let's talk about some of the things that we have deployed in real world applications. So as you are aware that for one of our clients in Pennsylvania, we moved from monolithic to microservices architecture. So if you can share your experience on that migration and any specific best practices that that has come across during that implementation, which has helped in the successful transition.
Right. So if we discuss about the TechMed as a company, and I mean, what TechMed is doing in terms of microservices. So we are very well expertise in terms of migrating the application from monolithic to microservices. Recently, we have done a migration where as you have explained about the customer. So there was a situation where we were maintaining an application which was monolithic. And then we realized that the team structure was growing, and there was also a complex code base which was growing, and we saw that it is very difficult to maintain the complex code base, and if there was any small change in terms of code or whatever it is, we need to completely deploy the package in terms of the backend. So it was not divided or separated into smaller components. So we thought that, it's a good time where we discuss with customer that, if we go with microservices, it will surely solve the issues of complexity of the code. And also as a team structure was growing, every team can use their skill set in terms of technology, what they know, and the DevOps cycle can be minimum. So the means, time to deploy the feature. So we started with small migrations. There were a couple of modules which were being used in the app, and then we thought that which is the module which was being used in a maximum way. So we started with migrating of the user service where the user base was increasing, and the user logins were also increasing. So we thought first to migrate the user module as a user service, and then slowly we also migrate all the components or the business domains in terms of business domains that we migrated into different services. So for that migration, we use AWS so that we can use the queue there, which is the SQS component in AWS. We use API gateways. So all the requests can go through the gateway, and then it can go through each service. For deployment of the app, we use the Elastic Container Service AWS, which is ECS. It is a managed service so that each app can be deployed as a container, and then it can be deployed into the ECS. So all those features of the components we utilize in the migration of the app which was being into monolithic into a microservices app, and then we also separated out the database which was used for the users into a completely different database. So now the users, I'm just giving an example that how we, by using only one of the services as a user service, the all components of that user module or the business were being migrated. So the strategy we deployed is to start migrating the module or the service which is being used in a maximum way, and then so that we can it can be a completely separate module, it can be deployed as a separate unit, the release cycle can be less, and complexity of the code can be reduced. And then we started on the basis of the same, once it's all stable, then we started to migrate the other components or the services from the monolithic app into the microservices. So the learning we had from all this migration is that in the future also if we need to build any kind of application which is not starting with a heavy team base, we can surely go with monolithic, and then slowly once we see there is a growing demand or the user base is increasing or the team is growing, we can surely think of the migration. So it all depends on the requirements that how is or the design that how your like no application is designed or how it is growing in the market.
Okay. Thank you, Vishal. So that's some good insight into the migration that we did. Be it the business need or the planning phase in terms of dividing the existing application into different services, I think it was all, as you have explained, it was all well thought of, well planned and executed. So that brings us to another important aspect of microservices, which is communication between the microservices. So if you can share some insights into the communication patterns and protocols that we commonly deploy for microservices architecture and how talking to each other actually impacts the overall performance and reliability of the system. So how is this communication, overall communication between microservices helps?
Right. So, if you think about monolithic app, which are like now also there in the market, how they communicate is there. I mean, it is deployed as a one unit. All the functions are there on the one server. So there are no network calls required so that all the pieces can talk. It's a direct call. There is no network call in the app. That is a one benefit of the monolithic app. So there are very less network calls compared to microservices. Now, if we discuss about communication patterns in the microservices, so there are various. One is the standard that the whole world is using, and it is very simple to use, which is like REST. So in terms of REST, I mean, so there are when the amount of data is less, and we just need to use the endpoint to communicate between the two services, we can surely use REST APIs. But only drawback of that using this pattern is for every kind of data, we need to send request and get the response every time. So that is one way of doing the communication between the microservices is using the REST APIs. The other better way to do the communication is using the using the message queues or the brokers. So how it works is it's a kind of asynchronous mode of communication, where any microservice has any kind of a change. If they do any kind of a change if let's say there is any kind of a save or update, and they want to let the other microservices know about that, okay, there is a change in the system in one of my system, and also you need to update those values in your place. So it sends the data to a message queue or a broker. So it's a kind of a message broker where the message comes, and all the services which would need that data, they would subscribe to that queue or the broker, and then in that way it can get all the data which is being published or forced or pushed by the first microservice. So that is a asynchronous way of communication which takes place between the microservices. The first one which I explained you the in terms of REST or API, it is a sync mode where the request is sent and the system waits for the response. So both have their different applications in the system. That how do you want to get the data in terms of a synchronous way or in terms of asynchronous way? The other third type of the pattern is using the Google remote call, where it is also called as a gRPC. So it's a kind of a lightweight message, because how it works is it sends the data in terms of a binary format. So it's a very very fast pattern to exchange the data. The only drawback would be using the gRPC is, when there is some kind of issues in the system, it would be very hard to debug. So that's why it is only used when it is being required by the application, and when your data load is higher to be exchanged. So in that case, we can use gRPC. The next mode would be GraphQL, which is called as a graph query language. So when it is being used mainly by, I think as of now, by Facebook, But it can be like also like, you know, implemented in your system when you think that there is a large payload and most of the data has to be retrieved in a single call. Then we can surely go for the GraphQL as a pattern to like, you know, exchange the data between the services. So those are the four or five, you know, patterns that, like, you know, we can think of that how microservices can, like, you know,
Thank you, Vishal. I think that you have explained the communication in quite detail. And like in real life, where communication is very important, I think communication in software and in microservices is crucial as well. So thank you for sharing all those details. And as we move towards the end of this discussion, I would just like to sum it up by saying that the microservices, we can think of it as a honeycomb. So we can represent microservices architecture through honeycomb. In the real world, I think bees build a honeycomb by aligning the hexagonal wax cells. And they start small, they use different materials to build the cells. And construction is often based on what is available and at the time of building. I think Vishal, and that's what microservices do for computer programs. To wrap up our discussions on microservices, we can have the analogy of honeycomb for representing microservices architecture. In the real world, bees actually build a honeycomb by aligning hexagonal wall cells. They start small, use different materials to build the cells, and construction is often based on what is available at the time of building. That's what microservices do for the computer programs. Vishal, you want to add any closing statement?
Yeah, I would say that, I mean, as of now, with this new, like, you know, trend of using microservices, so I would say that the technology should not drive the business. I mean, the business should be driving the technology. So we should not, any team who is working on the technology should not feel that they need to go towards microservices. They should surely start with small, designing with a monolithic app, and then slowly grow from there towards microservices. That's my, like, you know, take on it.
That's excellent summary, Vishal. And to the audience, if you have enjoyed today's episode, make sure to share it within your network. Stay tuned for our next episode. Thank you and goodbye.